Psalm 113. Psalm 113, and we'll study this psalm. Good news is it's only 9 verses, and I think we can get it all said in the next little while. Amen. Psalm 113, and if you're willing and able to do so, stand with us, and we'll read this psalm. We'll back up, give you a little background, and then we'll work our way through it together in studying the Word of God tonight. The Bible said, beginning in verse number 1, amen. Am I on? Can y'all hear me? Amen. Okay. If y'all can hear me, it don't matter if I can or not. All right. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. It's kind of what we've been trying to do a little bit here tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Did you catch him 3 verses? I believe it was Graham Scroggy and his book on the Psalms that I read through our study through the Psalms we've been doing. He said there is a thinly veiled reference to the Trinity. He said and spoke of the name of the Lord in verse 1. He spake of the name of the Lord in verse 2. And he spake of the name of the Lord in verse 3. And it's all centered around praise and blessing the name of the Lord. Amen. And he said that's a thinly veiled reference to God the Father ought to be praised, and God the Son ought to be praised, and thank God the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We can praise our triune God tonight. The Lord, verse 4, is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. And the psalm ends the same way it began, praise ye the Lord. Thank you for standing tonight. You can be seated. We've read this psalm tonight. This psalm, as we come to it, we understand that it belongs in a family of psalms. This is going to be the first of 5 psalms all the way through Psalm 118. It is known as the Hebrew Hallel, the Jewish Hallel, simply meaning hallelujah. These psalms pertain to a time, are given and were sung pertaining to the time of the celebration of their Passover, which was indeed a celebration of the time in which God set Israel free from Egyptian bondage. We know the story well, how that on that Passover evening, the blood of the Lamb having been slain and applied to the doorpost and the homes, and the Lamb having been sacrificed and eaten, the Lord passing through Egypt's Lamb would pass over those homes, and judgment would be stayed off of them. The homes that didn't have the blood, the youngins not protected by the blood, would be slain on the same night. In that night, God broke the bonds and the chains that Egypt and Pharaoh had upon the people of God, the seed of Abraham, and his chosen people, the nation of Israel, and come out with a high hand. They came out rejoicing. They came out liberated and in freedom, by the mighty power and the awesome wonder-working might of the blood of the Lamb and God's display in his presence in miraculous ways on that night. That is, even to the very hour that we live in tonight, that is an event that happened 4,000 years ago, and they still acknowledge that as a memorial in their history, that God was gracious enough to them to bring them out of that bondage.
And what a testimony all of that is. We understand its significance to Calvary and our Savior under the blood that He shed and applied, supplied, and then is applied to our hearts individually. And how that we are liberated through our own Passover Lamb that died for you and for me. That is God sending His own Son down to where we are to provide a way of liberty and liberation from the bonds and bondage we were in. And we can say tonight, oh, what a Savior. And so they sing these psalms around that time. Psalm 113 through 115, you'll find they are known again as the Hebrew Hallel. Hallel just simply meaning hallelujah. It's the word that is found, the Hebrew word found, that makes up the first and last phrase of Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Hallel, or hallelujah, or alleluia, which is a heavenly word that just simply means what our King James Bible translates it to be, and that is praise ye the Lord. The Lord should be praised. And in these five psalms, Psalm 113, I'm only dealing with 113 tonight, but through these five psalms to 118, praise, the word praise and synonyms that would be connected to praise occur at least 186 times in five psalms. And so that shows us, Brother Riley, real quickly, the theme of these psalms surrounding the Passover is that the Lord should be praised. There ought to be hallelujahs that are being extended to Him. We ought to be lifting hallelujahs with our voice and with our lives, that we would be praising the Lord for the themes that are taken on in these psalms surrounding the praise of the people of God. And so this evening, I want to just kind of maybe hit a lick out of Psalm 113. And we'll deal with that tonight, the heights of hallelujah. That we ought to be praising people. We ought to be children of God who know something about praising the Lord and blessing the Lord and worshiping the Lord, that He is worthy. There is no doubt that He is commanded. It is no doubt that it ought to be a joy in our heart to be able to do that. It is something that we ought to be striving to be in our life. And this evening, we want to consider this matter of praising the Lord. What a hallelujah looks like. What does a praise the Lord look like? What should it be in our life? How often should we praise? When should we praise? Where should we praise at? And how should we enter into this realm of a hallelujah given to the Lord? I mean, draw your attention. I'll break the psalm down in three groups of three. And notice with me in verses 1 through 3, I see the servant's call to praise. The servant's call to praise. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. I thought about this in light of this psalm and the theme that it has connected to the Passover. And the reference that this is for the servants of the Lord. When we think about Israel in Egypt and their bondage, we understand that there was a time for several hundred years that Israel were the servants to Egypt. They were the servants to Pharaoh. They were the servants to brick making. They were the servants to the whip on their back. And they were servants in so many ways in bondage. And under that servitude, the Bible said they wept and they cried. And they looked to heaven to the God of Abraham, their father, and wept to Him that He would show them mercy and that He would help them in their hour of bondage. And we understand when God met Moses out in the wilderness and the burning bush, He sent Moses back and He said, "You tell them that I have heard their cry by reason of their affliction. I know where they're at. I know that Pharaoh's got them under his thumb. I know that Pharaoh's goons is whipping their back. I know the blisters on their head. I know their babies that have been thrown in the Nile. I know all the servitude and the bondage that they have been under. But I'm telling you, when God came down and broke that servitude, they, my friend, are no longer the servants of Pharaoh. And the psalmist said, anybody who ain't under servitude under the God of this world anymore and has been made the servant of the Lord, that they have a call to praise the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, if you have been saved, if you know this evening the reality of servitude to the devil and servitude to sin and servitude to an ungodly, wicked world that has been broken in your life, that you're not in that bondage anymore, you don't have those relationships anymore, but now you are a servant of the Lord, that you have been called on to give the Lord praise. Amen. This psalm, I know what the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I believe that. Let everything that breathes God's air. Amen. Let everything that is on borrowed time from a sovereign God, when life in their body, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But can I say today, if that's true, how much greater is the responsibility and the call and the obligation and should be the desire of those who have been brought in to be the servants of the Lord to praise His name. Servants tonight, we think about servants. Servants are those who belong to and are under the authority of another. That's what a servant is. It's someone that has been placed, my friend, into the possession of another. A servant means you have a master, a servant. The fact that you're a servant means that somebody has bought you, somebody has paid for you, somebody in doing that has placed you underneath him. And somebody said, well, them Christians, they're just servants of the Lord. And they speak of that, Brother Mike, as though it's a bad thing. But it ain't a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing tonight to be known as a servant of the Lord, that He bought me, He paid me, He didn't buy me on credit, thank God. He paid for me in full and brought me into His household and desires that you and I, as His servants, live under His authority. I tell you why, some can't praise the Lord. They, my friend, have not had that payment price applied to their life. They're still a servant to religion. They're a servant to sin. They're a servant to so many other relationships in their life. They know nothing about a relationship with the Lord. And the way you know you're in a relationship with the Lord is that you have been brought under His authority. Amen. You show me whose authority you're living under, I'll show you, amen, whose servants you are. Amen. Romans chapter number 6 tells us we, as God's children, are not to be the servants of sin any longer. And we're to be the servants of righteousness. Amen. So this evening there's the servant's call to praise. What should a servant's what is this servant's call to praise? What does it involve? How does it instruct you and I to praise Him quickly tonight? In verse number 1, I wrote it down this way, Brother Mike, that we are, as servants, we are called on to praise the Lord personally. The Bible said, praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And the indication is simply this. I know there's a lot of depth there tonight. I don't know how deep we'll get into some of this background, but just on a surface level, the psalmist is saying that if you are a servant of the Lord, you are to personally praise the Lord. You're not to let somebody else do your praising. You're, my friend, not to sit there in silence as though You are the one that that is not under this called us, praise the Lord, but that all of us as servants of the Lord are called on to praise the Lord personally. You remember what Jesus said before he died when that crowd said, have you heard what these are saying about you as they praise the Lord? And Jesus said, well, if I was to forbid these and told them to be quiet, why then even the rocks would cry out in their place. I think the Lord was saying that, my friend, there is to be something personal about our praise. It ain't just the pastor's job or the choir's job or the pastor's wife's job or something given to just a certain element within the church. That if you are saved tonight, you ought to make it your personal responsibility that you are going to praise the Lord. Amen. We're called on to praise the Lord personally. Let me say number two, we're called on to praise the Lord perpetually. Verse number two said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I love this phrase, from this time forth and forevermore. That just simply means while you're here in your days on this earth, praise the Lord. Praise him today, praise him tomorrow, praise him on Friday, praise him on Saturday, come in the house of God praising him on Sunday, amen, from this time forth and forevermore, praise the Lord perpetually if you've yet to praise him. And my friend, from this time forward, make that thing right. If you ain't praised him today, praise him now. If you ain't praised him, my friend, a day in your life, the psalmist said that there's no better time to begin to praise the Lord than right now. What, my friend, we shall do in eternity forever ought to begin on earth. From this time forth, I don't care where you're at, what you're facing, what stresses may be in your life. My friend, we are called upon, no matter what we have successfully done or what we have failed to do on yesterday. Today is a new day in which there is a demand. And from this time, right now, we ought to be saved. I just want to bless the Lord. And we've done that tonight in many ways. And every testimony has been a testimony tonight. Amen. We ain't even had one testimony tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't know why. I don't know why. It's just the way it is because I'm, amen, too nice. But it just seems like every... whatever in my life, I draw a certain element and crowd of a handful that just seem to come into my ministry. And I love them, but they drive me bonkers. Amen. Because when you say you got a testimony, they think that, amen, that just is their time to talk a while. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you, we ain't had no testimony tonight. Amen. Everyone who has said, I want to brag on the Lord. I want to praise the Lord. I just want to thank God tonight for what he's done for me yet. And can I say it on not just me? When we're up, then we praise the Lord. Whether we're up or whether we're down, then we are to praise the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. There is an element of this verse where we are to praise him perpetually that I find is connected to Calvary from this time forth and forevermore. You understand this was sung around the Passover. In the preparation of the Passover, they would say, and began one right after another throughout the preparation of the meal and before they would eat the meal and in the middle of the meal and then after the meal, that these Jewish Israelite people, even in this hour, they sing the Hebrew Hallel. We know that Christ, the night before his crucifixion, that he went in the preparation, the Passover meal with his disciples, and before they left the upper room, the Bible said, and when they had sung a hymn, They went out into the Mount of Olives. And all of that is connected back to these Psalms. And I believe tonight, from this time forth and forevermore, that my friend could speak to you and Adonai from that day of Calvary's day, from Golgotha's hill and the work of the cross that Jesus would do for you and me. From that time forth, you say, I understand the Old Testament, God was good. I understand in the old economy, God's grace and mercy and truth and His miracle working power was there, and men can praise Him, and men did praise Him in them days. I'm telling you, we're on this side of the cross, amen, on this side of Calvary's hill, and if anybody ought to be praising God tonight, it's you and me. Amen. Something happened 2,000 years ago, and Jesus sang that night before that blessed day, and it's from this time forward. Nobody ever sang that verse like He did. From this time forth, even forevermore. And by the way, we praise God today for the cross. That's what we did last week, them few extra services we had. It's trying to get our hearts set upon the cross to stir us in gratitude and worship and praise to the Lord. Amen. When we get to heaven, we're going to get around the throne, and you know what we're going to praise Him about? Going to be a lot of things, I'm sure, but one of the things revealed in the Word of God is that we're going to gather around the throne. We're going to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that was slain. Hey, man, You gave Your blood that we can be redeemed out of every kindred, every nation, every tongue, and every people. And throughout eternity and forever, we are going to praise the Lord for the very thing we do tonight. We ought to do it perpetually. We ought to do it perpetually. Let me say number 3, verse 3. A servant's call to praise is to praise the Lord purposefully. He said, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name, watch it now, is to be praised. He didn't say praise Him if you feel like it. He just said, did you see the sun get up this morning? Praise Him. Amen. If you're still alive when the sun goes down, praise Him again. Amen. From the east to the west, and no matter what happens between sunrise and sunset, that the Lord's name is to be praised. That we are to do that purposefully. And I tell you something tonight, there ain't nobody, and I understand everybody ain't going to stand in every service and praise the Lord. This is not a rebuke. But I want us to understand tonight, everybody who praised the Lord tonight with standing on their feet and saying, I want to give a word for God. None of them did it on accident. You'll never accidentally praise God. You'll never stumble into praising the Lord. If you're going to praise the Lord from the rising of the sun, the going down of the same, it will be done purposefully. It'll be done with your mind set upon the Lord and His grace and His truth and His mercy and His love and His goodness upon your life. And it'll be you purposefully arising and say, and then I want to say something about the Lord. Amen. From the rising of the sun, did you praise Him this morning? Did you praise Him this morning? Did you praise Him when you realize He brought you through another day? Oh, the forces of hell surely I would have done you in, burned your home down, and made you go crazy. The Lord watched over you while you slept. Did you praise Him when you realized you woke up this morning and there's still clothes in the closet and food in the cupboard? And God, my friend, took care of you all night long while you rested. He never slumbered. He never slept. He never got tired. And when the sun comes up, it is a reminder that our God is His faithfulness He's ever been. Amen. Praise Him when the sun comes up. I praise Him from the rising of the sun. Amen. So many I'll pick on this evening. Sister Heather, she saw me on Saturday at 8:30 in the morning. Said, "Preacher, amen, got us all up here before Jesus even got up." Amen. I understand everybody ain't mourning people. I'm getting old now. I've learned that when you get older, you just are going to be a mourning person. Amen. You're going to be up at 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30. And I told her, I said, "Oh, Jesus is up because Him and I talked just a few hours ago. That's how I know He's up at 8:30. Amen. I've never woke up and found Him still sleeping. I've never woke up and found He wasn't still on the throne. Praise God. I've never woke up and friend of Him saying, I don't want to fool with Ledbetter today. I don't have any time for Him today. But every morning the sun gets up, there's still my Savior's on the throne. Hey, still beckons me into His presence. Hey, still welcomes me to walk with Him and talk with Him. Hey, I'm telling you, on those facts alone, we ought to praise the Lord. I'm determined every morning of every day. I begin my day saying, I'm glad that He's my God. I'm glad I get to walk with Him. I'm glad I get to be His servant again today. Amen. You're going to have to praise Him purposefully on the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. So there is the entirety of a day that is dealt with in verse number 3. An entire period of daylight, sunrise to sunset. Oh, praise God. Here's what the Bible said. Here's what the Bible said. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If you've lived long enough to know what a man living is, you understand that there's just something about a day. You think about getting up in the morning, getting up in the rising of the sun, and seeing the day begin. I've lived enough in those days to understand, Brother Maurice, that there ain't no telling what can happen in the course of a day. Good things, bad things. Things that bring a lot of joy to your life. Things that bring a lot of tears to your eyes. You don't know what a day can bring forth. And yet, my friend, every day is a new day. Every day, I love this, that Jeremiah would say in Lamentations, that the Lord's mercies, they are new every morning. That thank God we can praise Him in the rising of the sun after we've slept or after we wrestled all night long, because we know in the morning there are new mercies. So you begin your day, you don't know what's going to happen. Now, imagine if we let everybody today tell about the day they had. Some of you, you've had a very mundane, average day that has had no excitement. It's had no heartbreak. You just got up, you did your thing, and here you are at church tonight because it's Wednesday night and you wanted to come meet with God and nothing big or spectacular or horrendous happened. Maybe others here tonight that if we let them talk, we would immediately hear in their voice joy and excitement. We would hear things that God answered prayers for me today. We would hear about interventions that are of a divine nature that maybe something was about to go wrong, but God stepped in that day. And God, are y'all listening? Hey, on the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun. Others maybe would stand tonight and would say and talk about the hardships of the day that today, let's be honest, there are some days. How do we describe them? Well, it's just one of those days. Come on now. You ever have one of those days? You ever heard somebody say, has this been one of those days? And what we mean when we say that is, there ain't much lining up. There ain't much good happening. You ever have one of them days you take two steps forward and five backwards? Come on now, seem like nothing goes right. Nothing goes according to plan. Nothing stays on schedule. Amen. The rising of the sun, the going down of the same, there's no telling what can happen in your life. But here's what the psalmist said. You need the purpose to praise him, no matter if it's been good or bad. No matter if it's been a lot of joy or a lot of grief. No matter if everything's gone better than you planned or has not lived up to how you planned. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the shade. Every day, you say, preacher, I don't know if I can praise him the kind of day that I've had. You can if you purpose to do so. You can, my friend, if you praised him in the morning and you praised him, Lord, I'm going to bless you and serve you and be faithful to you. And you'll see he'll be faithful to you no matter what your day has looked like, no matter how you would describe your day, and just be purposing when the sun goes down. God's name is still great. God's name is still faithful and true. God's testimony is not diminished no matter what has been for me or against me. Nothing can hinder the fact that I, as a servant, I must praise my God purposefully. Rising of the sun, the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. The servant's call to praise. Let me give this rest of this. I'll throw it out. Maybe we'll come back and elaborate on some of this. Verses 4, 5, and 6. I see in this psalm the heights of hallelujah. That there is the sovereign considerations of praise. I love what this psalmist, Brother Riley, does. Brother Mark, yeah, in verses 4 through 6, he makes us have to look upward. Amen. Verses 1 through 3, we're kind of looking around. But if you're going to know the heights of hallelujah, you're going to have to look beyond around, and you're going to have to look, my friend, toward heaven. So he says in verse number 4, the Lord is high. Thank God he is. He said in verse 5, who dwelleth on high? And so there is this idea that we must consider the sovereignty of our God, sovereign considerations. And let me give you three of them real quickly. Verse number 4, I see the transcendence of the Lord. He said the Lord is high above all nations. Every governmental power, every military might, every nation that has been, is, or shall be, the Lord is high above them all. He said here, and his glory, I got to say a word about that, and his glory above the heavens. The transcendence, the highness, the heights in which our Lord dwells, and the transcendence of his glory that is uncontainable. Amen. His glory. You say, preacher, what is the glory of the Lord? Well, Moses said, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord told Moses, he said, no man seen my glory. You ain't about to see my glory. No man has seen it and been able to live. He said, about all you can take, if you'll get over there in the hollow of that rock, amen, and hide yourself in there. I'll pass by in a minute. I'll put my hand over the hole of the rock. Amen, I'll pass by. And when I get by, I'll drop my hand. And you'll be able to see just the hinder parts of my glory. Amen. Glory is the essence of all God's attributes. God's glory is the essence of everything God is. God is love. God is grace. God is good. God is holy. God is just. God is, and we go down through the list of things in the Word of God. that God has revealed about His glory, about the essence of who He is. And His glory is all of those things contained in the essence and presence of who God is. And so we think about tonight that in praising the Lord, there are some sovereign considerations that ought to be made. When we think about the one we are praising, understand that He is transcendent. He is not bound to earth and time. He is not bound to the solar systems. He is so transcendent above all that we are and all that we know and all that we see. Then the Bible said, He's so transcendent, Brother Jack, that the heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. You cannot contain Him in a stump of wood. You cannot contain Him in an image formed out of a rock. Come on now. Amen. He, my friend, goes beyond Jupiter. He goes beyond the gods in the heavens that men give credence to and acknowledgement of. So much so that the psalmist said, when you get ready to praise your God, understand that you're not praising a God that is limited and bound to this earthly realm, that He's not even bound to the solar systems that contain the stars and the moons and the planets and the systems that men have studied even in our day with telescopes. God is transcendent beyond all of that. Amen. What a mighty big God we serve tonight. He's a big God. He ain't a little God. Some of y'all act like you can put Him in your pocket and pull Him out when you need to. He's bigger than you can put in your pocket. Amen. You don't put Him in the trunk of your car and ride Him around. Oh, no, friend. In fact, He's so transcendent. I've got to move on. I told you I'd just throw it out, and here I go. Brother Moe, elaborate, and I don't mean to, but I want you to understand today that He's so big that He's everywhere all at the same time. He's in time and out of time. He's here and He's there. Hallelujah. Oh, you say, should we praise Him tonight when you consider the transcendence of our God tonight? Somebody ought to say, no wonder we've been called as servants to praise Him. When we think about who our God is, that He is the Lord that transcends time and space and earth and matter. He is everywhere. David said, if I make my bed in hell or if I ascend to the heights of the heavens, Lord, You're there. Amen. He said on one occasion, in a bad time of his life, he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I'd fly out of this mess. He said, but I know this, wherever I flew to, trying to get out of my trouble, God would meet me. If it was in the wilderness, God would be there. I'm telling you tonight, there ain't anywhere when you give sovereign consideration the Lord in His transcendence, and then He's not limited by your circumstance. He's not limited to where you feel like you are tonight. Whether it's good or bad, high or low, hot or cold, I'm telling you tonight, you ought to praise God because of His transcendent glory that you and I are acquainted with. Transcendence of the Lord. I could say a word tonight in verse 5 about the magnificence of the Lord. Who is like unto the Lord, our God who dwelleth on high? The Lord would ask this same question through Isaiah in days to come. I am the Lord, and beside me there is none other. Whom shall ye compare me unto? And the Lord Himself brags on Himself that they ain't another God, they ain't another man. You find the strongest, you can, He's stronger. You find the wisest you can find, He's wiser. You find the fastest you can find, He's faster. Amen, amen. You find the biggest you can find, He's bigger. I'm telling you tonight, He is magnificent. Who is like unto the God we're called to praise tonight? Then there's a blessed thought of the coherence of the Lord in verse number 6. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. You know what he just said? He said, oh yes, he's transcendent and he's magnificent, but he's a God that is coherent to the needs of his people. That he's not just some God in a distant land. He's not some God in another dimension, uninterested in his children, uninterested in his creation. Oh, you better believe he's magnificent. You better believe he's transcendent. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad that same God that's out of this world is a God that, my friend, is in my world. A God that's beyond what I can see. Yet, my friend, his eye is on me. I can't behold him with my eye. I just know he's out there. I see him by faith. I feel him in my heart. I believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'm glad, thank God, he's a God that's willing to humble down and condescend and be coherent to the needs of my life and what you're going through today. You ought to praise God because he has beheld your life. Psalmist David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man that thou wouldst visit him. God, that transcendent and magnificent, ought not have nothing to do with wretched men like you and me. But he does. He ought to left us go. He ought to left us in bondage, but he didn't. He shouldn't have let us die in our sin and go an awful place called hell for eternity. But he came to where we were, knowing our need. He knows. Here's how I wrote it down, and I'm moving on. He knows what's going on because he sees and he cares. Amen. Your God can do anything and is everywhere. But he's a God who sees and cares about what's going on in your life. Amen. The servant's call, the sovereign considerations. Notice with me, I'm done. The spiritual causes for praise. Oh, I got to just throw it out to you. I'll come back and we'll preach on it. I'll testify about it sometime. Notice with me, verse 7. What has God done in our life that we ought to praise him for? Let me say, number one, praise him because you are not where you used to be. I know this is simple. Just came, this is so simple, but it blesses my heart. Praise him because you are not where you used to be. Where did I used to be, according to this psalm? Amen. You was in the dunghill. According to this psalm, amen, you were in the dust. It's nothing more than a dirty, defiled, wretched sinner. Wherever you were, whatever your background is, you are not. If you're saved, if you know the Lord, if you've been brought into his family, if you have been brought into his blessed church, friend, you are not where you used to be. You ain't in the bar rooms, you ain't in the honky-tonks. You ain't on the dance floors. Thank God you ain't in the pool halls. You ain't in the movie houses. You're not out with the buddies anymore. Thank God tonight you're not where you used to be if you know the Lord. You ought to praise him that you're not there tonight. You can't live on memories lane, but Brother Larry Raines has been saying for decades now, amen, you ought to take a trip down memories lane every now and then, just see where God saved you from. Every now and then you ought to ride by the dunghill one more time and say, I still remember where I used to be. I remember where I used to live. Hey, I remember all of that. But that's his name, and hallelujah to him. I owe all my praise to him that I am not where I used to be. Praise him because you are not where you used to be. Praise him because you are not what you used to be. I know, Brother Jonathan, I know it's simple tonight. I know it's simple. I'm just giving you a simple message on a Wednesday night. You say, preacher, what did I used to be? According to that text, you was poor. Amen. You was poor and needy. That's what you was. You was poor and needy. You was a beggar. You was a nobody. You was a castaway. You was, my friend, a nuisance to society. And if you've been saved, thank God you can praise it. And because you are not what you used to be. I'm not poor anymore. Other Larry said, I'm not needy. I don't have a need tonight. He's not saying he don't need God. He's just saying that when God saved him, then God filled up everything in his life. I ain't needy anymore. This same. I got to move on. I ain't got time to do all this. The Mark, Hannah, when God heard and answered her prayer, this is the same thing she prayed, 1 Samuel chapter 2. She said, I just want to praise him. He lifts the beggar. The beggar out of the dunghill. Amen. Sister Marcia, you bless me today. Bragging on the Lord about how he saved you and you're glad you're saved. Amen. Have you even thought about it today? Amen. About what you used to be? Say, so, well, how do I know I'm not what I used to be because of what you are now? Amen. Now, if you're still poor and needy and a beggar and a wretch and a man defiled, then, amen, you is what you was. But I ain't what I used to be. Amen. Notice he said that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. You know what you are? You're his people. And you are his prince and princesses. Prince. I don't know how to say it. You are a prince. If you are a male, there are no transgenders in the family of God. If you're a male, you're a prince. If you're a female, you are a princess. Amen. What about that? I'm not poor and needy. I'm not what I used to be, and I know that because of what I am now. I'm his people. Hallelujah. Praise him because you are not where you used to be, and you are not what you used to be. I love this point. Praise him because you are not how you used to be. He said he maketh the barren woman to keep house. This is just an illustration now. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. He said, praise him because you're not how you used to be. Think back to when you was barren and now he's made you fruitful. You didn't have nothing. You couldn't work it up. You was barren. Now he's made you fruitful. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. That's something to praise God for. Lord, I could preach there. Watch this. Praise him because you're not how you used to be. There was a time not only you was barren, but now you're fruitful. There was a time you were bitter, but now you're joyful. Amen. The life of a sinner is a bitter life. When the Lord gets done doing his work in a sinner, bitterness is taken out and joy is put in. Just like a woman who has longed for a baby. Long for her own baby. We've got illustrations of that in the Bible. We could stand people up in this sanctuary tonight who have been in that situation. God has somehow miraculously, where that bitterness of wanting a child was so great, given them a child, and they cherish that thing. They cling to that young. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We was in such bitterness of soul before God saved us. Amen. I ain't got one bad report to give tonight about being a child of God. I'm not telling you it ain't had tears. I'm not telling you there ain't been some long days and nights. But through it all, there's been a joy that has abounded. And I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise him, church, tonight. Because you are not how you used to be. Think about some of the things you've been through since you've been saved. How would you have handled them things before you got saved? Probably not with the same Christian character as you've been able to handle it. And that's not you being super duper spiritual. That is you knowing something about a relationship to the grace and the joy and the love and the mercy of Almighty God. Amen. The heights of hallelujah. Maybe we'll come back and elaborate, but that's it. Amen.